You did?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Last Friday, right?
Who was the Friday before?
Four.
Who did I have?
Didn't you have this past Friday? You
just, my mind just went off.
So she was on the radio for Wilk?
Oh. Yeah, for a radio show.
For the interview, you know. Was Kevin with her too? Or did you have the two of them?
Mm-hmm.
Or just
mm-hmm. both came.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who did you, what was the focus of the interview?
Talking about education and the difference from where they were in terms of parents being better organized.
Yeah,
and
right.
And there's a lot more African Americans in Atlanta, and it sort of took them by sort of surprise, because they, before coming down here, they had kind of looked up at, you know, how wonderful the school system was and stuff. So they had certain expectations, and then
they came here, right?
Into the reality, and like their kid is maybe the only non-white kid in the gifted class, and you know, they just had this struggle, how this all works, and
far different than Atlanta, which is sort of the black mecca at this point. You know, it really is, like for blacks, that's the place to go, that's the place to live and get involved.
Okay, the one that necessarily said that was true in terms of school.
No. I think it means in terms of job opportunities, in terms of being able to get
but
some power
school,
as far as the government's concerned.
They found the parents were better organized for African American kids, and maybe if in a gifted class he wasn't like a lone ranger.
The one black kid in the white class,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's true. My nephew lives in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And he's of course not involved in anything that means anything as far as I'm concerned. My nephew's not my favorite person. But he lives in Alpharetta, you know, which is a suburban place. And he's got the whole suburban idea about, you know, all this. And so he and I argue when we see each other. And we'll see each other soon, so.
So what you're trying to clarify is what your goals would be. I know you had said wanting to that your work be carried on, that you've struggled with for so long with the university here in terms of Truth to Power and the Bell Award, and then getting the
marker
and whatever. And so that's still in process, is what you're saying. It's sort of clarifying.
Yeah, because even after we've done a few years of this stuff, it's still sort of a new way of organizing. In the sense of really taking a cultural or educational or historical issue and using it to open up the larger issue of institutional racism and create resources and permanent things like monuments to help move the community in the direction of being anti-racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically what it comes down to.
And I was also thinking, I don't know if that's broadening it too much, the whole labor issue at the university,
right,
which, you know, I'm just kept in my consciousness because of my daughter working in the mailroom.
Right.
And the shift that goes on, like, for example, she got, when she was there a few years, she got a pretty good raise from the bottom thing, because they got this complicated machine in to do some of the sorting or whatever, that it was a very complicated computer thing, and she got minimal training and had to struggle with that and was a nervous wreck, but by having the responsibility to learn that and to do that, she got, you know, instead of being the bottom, sort of a mid-range raise, which is pretty significant at the time. Well, now she's been sort of bopping along, you know, not moving very. And they had one boss who was alcoholic, and they got this new boss a few years ago, who's worse, she's not alcoholic, but she's highly religious, so they have little prayer services on company time, and so I won't even go into all of it. But the thing is, right at this point in the past year, with the budget stuck at the university, this idiot woman in trying to get rid of more workers, and the boss above her who's been let go, because of this, they went and ordered a $24,000, something like that, other machine to do a different kind of sorting. Hers was like a specialized, maybe the bulk mail or whatever. This is like, so it would take work away from two or three people who are doing the sorting.
Right.
And this at a time when, so they, the one above, the boss above, her current like boss, tried to stop it, but it was too late. So this machine has come, they've laid a few people off. You know, it's just so stupidly done over there, and the worst people get rewarded. Some people sit around all the time, chair and works their buns off, because she's like, supposedly it was this, where she's like a fill-in for any supervisor, which means anybody is not there. She's doing everybody's job. It's awful. But, you know, this whole thing with bad decisions and people making a decision like that, you know, at a time with budget crunch for $24,000 machine. But to have like labor as a whole thing, that would be another whole huge thing. So to keep it focused on sort of racism, institutional racism would be the main focus.
If you focus on institutional racism, you have to focus on labor. You have to focus on health care, environmental justice, all those different aspects of institutional racism.
Mm-hmm.
So in Chapel Hill, especially where your labor force has been also your lowest wage class.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a pillow under my feet. If you could pull it up towards the here. See it sliding off.
Let's pull it up.
Yeah.
There you go.
You got it.
Okay. Yeah. Is that better?
Yep. Good. Absolutely.
Okay.
Anyway, so we had this discussion, and it required a really in-depth. You know, I'd already had those kinds of discussions with Stephanie, but I hadn't really had them with Miriam or with Kevin. And they really didn't get it to begin with, I don't think. So now our idea is to have this next meeting where they do have a better understanding of it. It's not just my idea. And a core group of people can be, their questions can be answered, and we can recruit into that group, and people will understand why it's important beyond that it's Yanni's legacy and so forth. So that meeting is going to get organized tomorrow. Won't happen tomorrow, but they will get organized tomorrow. And they have lists of people. And
contact.
You're on the list, but I'm not sure you are.
Well, if it's email, then she lets me know.
I will let her know. Because she doesn't have the email. I'm going to be able to contact you through email. She doesn't want to do email, so I'll let
Yanni
know
knows that. Everybody knows that. Everybody chides me.
Yeah, I know they do, but I don't mind doing that at all. Absolutely not.
It's funny now. I can't hardly do email anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I'm getting to be like you.
Well, join the people who are
the Luddites, right?
Yes, the Luddites. Yeah. But is it hard to see? Yeah, is that what it is?
See?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to have brain-eye coordination to write.
Oh, okay.
I can't touch type really at all.
No. Okay.
And also it's hard for me to think. So.
I don't know, Yanni.
Looks like you're thinking pretty well to me.
Well, the different kind of thing.
Yeah.
Constructing sentences and
just the practical nuts and bolts are harder. Yeah, right.
But I can still think and talk and be pretty clear.
Yep, you certainly are being.
But when I sit down to write, it seems to disappear to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to really have to struggle to coherently put a few thoughts together. But I'm figuring out how to deal with that. Anyway, so the plan will be to do this sometime soon, like probably next week or weekdays maybe. But I suppose it will be. Do you guys know your schedule?
Well, actually, I'm going to have to depend on Liza. My sister's coming next. She's coming next Wednesday. And she'll be here on November 3rd, and I see her once a year. We're going to be going to the beach the 26th.
I've got a calendar.
So I'm going to be a little out of commission. But
my daughter's going to be here as well.
But she's going to be here for a few days.
Yeah, she's going to be here from the 22nd to the 26th. She's going home on the 26th.
Okay.
So that's I'll be out of commission too, because I really want time to spend with her. She's been having a very bad year emotionally. She needs some good quality time, and I don't want to be running here and there when she's here.
Yeah.
So,
well, we can find out, and if we're not able to come, we can catch up with Sabinda or Miriam. If I can come, I will.
Yeah,
well, when my sister comes, I kind of clear my calendar and, you know, just kind of devote myself with her, because we, as I say, it's just once a year we get together. You know how much the plane fare is now, just from New York? And she thinks she got a good deal. It's almost
$200. Yeah, well, my daughter thinks she got a good deal from Florida. It's $171, you know, to fly from here to Tampa, which takes 1 hour and 45 minutes.
From New York, it's like an hour.
Yeah.
And it's $194. And she said it was $200.
Yeah, she feels like she got a special deal.
Well, I guess with the gas going up and the planes.
But
there's
charges for this, that, and the other thing. You know, surcharges for this, that, and the other thing.
Anyhow, if I can come, I will, because she does take a lot of things. You know, she has a heart condition, so she takes some rest in the afternoon. So if it's like where I can work it out, I will come if I can, Yanni.
Yeah, me too.
And if I can't, I'll try to catch up with them. Yeah, Thomas is going to do the radio show on the 23rd, and I guess somebody else is going to do it the following
week as well.
This tea is wonderful.
Oh, it's really, really good.
Because it doesn't need a sweetener at all, you know?
No, and it's wonderful. It's really, it has such a lovely little taste.
Can I ask a clarification question, Jim? On the audio tape, the interviews, those are both African-American and white books. So,
mostly American,
Written by Junior Scales, I mean, just like. So, are they all about Black freedom struggle in this area, basically, or history of the African American community? Almost both.
Most of the texts that I have are related to the civil rights movement in Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh. Got it. Including the white people.
Yes, including white people.
Okay. And what does DOH numbers refer to? Department of History.
Yep.
Those are filed in the Department of History somewhere, those. The ones that say DOH 17 or something.
Those are filed in the Southern Oral History Project.
So all that say DOH are already in the Southern Oral History Project.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I'm glad that Carrie is keeping up with you. I didn't realize that he was coming down so frequently. This is a friend of Yanni's that I met some years ago.
I don't know him.
He's a sweetheart, and just the warmest, you know, cheerful. One of these people has always got this twinkle and.
Oh, I know. Those kind of people are a special gift to the world, aren't they?
So when you see them, you always feel you find yourself smiling.
Yeah,
and
right.
And I've bumped into them a few times that we've straightened but bumped into you guys when we were in Washington one time. Remember we bumped into you in
small
here?
Small world.
Small world. It was some big demonstration in Washington.
Right.
A million people, you know, a bunch of people, and we found each other. And then I had talked to him about my grandson nephew being interested in maybe applying, you know, to get into the graduate program in history, and he was very encouraging and said to talk to him, and then he decided to go to political science, that it would be, he thought, more practical in terms of jobs afterwards, because he has to earn his bread. Well, then he went. He didn't get in this year, which turned out to be a blessing. He tried on his own, but his GREs were really, really good. But he had all history courses for his undergraduate degree, not one poli-sci course. So we decided to take a poli-sci course through continuing education and apply again, thinking that would up his chances, because they only took around 6 people this past year rather than 15 due to the budget cut. So his ego wasn't too bruised. Well, he started this poli-sci course and he hated it.
Uh-oh.
He said it was just so abstract. It was nothing like what he, and then he looked through the syllabus, which he'd never looked through, bless his point he had, and he decided that political science, the way it was taught or the way he looked at the syllabus,
but
was
not what he wanted,
very, very abstract. So he just said that's not what he thought it would be. So now he's taking a public policy course, but he's still interested in history because he loves history.
Oh, yeah.
He loves history. He's just trying to be practical.
You got to work, right?
Yeah, he's got...
He used to have some discussion, a lot of discussion about that, because political science is definitely very, from my point of view, unwieldy, tends to be conservative and academic, more so than history.
Yeah, well, that's why he loved history, but he thought political science, you know, because he's from the history background, he's just so interested, and he's interested in politics. He's been out, you know, crawling under the trees in California to save him, you know, he's been very political, although not so much in the last few years, but has been very, very political and very left, you know. And he wanted to be an agent sort of change, but also to have a job.
Yeah, he's also got to eat, right.
Also got to eat, but history would be, you know, so now he's looking at public policy as a possibility, though he still has history in mind, too. Maybe he should talk to Carrie.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe I ought to get Carrie's number at some point. Yeah, because he's still trying to figure out, you know, but he's 29 and he's got to figure it out soon. But anyhow, you're clarifying then about institutional racism and having people continue the work that you've worked so hard on with other people. And I guess maybe how to keep students involved, because one of the things has been your strength, which you always had a lot of students involved.
And there won't be me pushing that.
So what about Cheryl Kleinman?
Well, that's a good question.
Is she on that list?
Yeah, she's not on the list at this point, but she's certainly a possibility. There aren't many on campus who are possibilities, but...
And she's good with students. You know, she's a sociology professor.
Yeah, right.
She's Canadian.
Uh-huh.
Very, very clever.
Her
and her husband is Michael Schwabe, and he's sociology at NC State, but they're both, you know, very, very clever.
You okay with time, Michael?
Yeah. Pardon?
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, okay, I'm fine. Absolutely.
There are a few students who we've been considering. Haley Koch
is, of course,
at the top of the list. And I think that she would be good for a whole lot of reasons. One being that she's become increasingly more interested in history since being exposed to some of the work that we've been doing. And for other reasons, too.
She's getting her degree. She's an undergraduate. Her degree in what, biology, as I saw her. I'm trying to remember.
What year is she? She's seeing
her this year. This
will be in the last year.
That's what I thought.
So that's a little bit of a drawback in terms of
right.
in terms of her continuing with us. Mm-hmm. But a person like her, if even you know, trained in this kind of approach and in some struggle along these lines, can very well take this approach and implement it wherever they go. And she's got a lot of years to implement it. So, there are some other people who would like Rob Stevens as a possibility. Now he's already out, so he's not in school now, but he is around here for the St. Joseph stuff. And
Della, what's her name, the teacher?
No, Pollock.
She's the one who's been the teacher, and it's kind of an inspiration and a mentor to like Rob Stevens. So, so she's another campus person that's really been working with students a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. My only concerns about Rob is that he's not going to be around.
Yeah.
And that exactly how he, I think he'd probably be good, but he's got a real big world in front of him. Of course, Haley does too. So I'm not sure about that. You know, we don't have to have everybody in it to begin with. In fact, we want a fairly small group.
No, I was just trying to think of some campus connections because they'll be the ones that'll really carry on, and or some teachers that really try to mentor kids along. You know, Della is one of them. Judith Blau, he's trying to get her students involved. She's a little bit more, I don't mean conservative, but sort of like the UN, and what is it, the human rights, but she also is a teacher that really cares about getting
kids
opened up to
possibilities.
Justice and things like that,
Right. And so one of the things that will ensure carrying on this kind of history and commemorative work is the activities of professors and grad students secondarily, because they are here for a much longer period of time and access to resources and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But you need the students to, make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that the teachers themselves may be part of the study group or would have time, but it's possible. Cheryl Kleinman is one who might fit the bill in terms of that.
Now, she doesn't drive, so she...
She does not?
No.
Oh, she
grew up in in Vancouver, Montreal, I think. One of the big cities, you know, people.
So use public transportation.
Well, people come to the cities, they don't have cars.
No, they're black.
I had a boyfriend who grew up in Brooklyn, and he didn't get his driver's license around 30, you know, because they're in the city, you can't afford to have a car.
But it's a liability.
It is a liability.
You've got to pay for it, parking. So, I mean,
it's hard when you get to be 30 to all of a sudden learn to drive, so she just, it's been a big issue for her, and she's finally just come to terms with it, and and thank God it's public transportation here, but I was thinking for meetings. But you know, somebody else might be very happy to pick her up. She's just over the other end of town.
Well, my tendency is to think we're fairly small for our first meeting. Try to get our feet off the ground and think about if there's other people to involve. It's going to have to be a developing thing.
It's going to be, you're right, evolving and people's energy and ideas, but I'm so glad that, you know, you're thinking about how to get people thinking in those terms of continuing to work on institutional racism. Is Michelle overextended? Is Michelle?
Well, yeah. I've talked to her about it. I think Michelle may try to come, may want to come, probably won't be able to come. But should be kept very much in the loop. Is my guess. You know, part of what we want to do is, in these different areas, produce little pamphlets that our organizing approach at this point is have our little core, do some work to educate ourselves, then start out of that developing ideas and ways of educating our NAACP members. And from there, go out into the rest of the society with programs like what they're trying to raise for different ways of dealing with the schools or whatever.
Well, you know, in terms of the NAACP, you know, the women are getting more involved, and Wilf has reached out to the women. You know, we've had these two brunches.
And so I think that's moving along in a very compatible.
I think so, too. Yeah, and I think because the women have been so quiet, it's been such a boys' club, you know, and now Colleen and Teresa Watson and Leola and some of the women who've oh dear. Is it the taste or it's just kind of just
down the wrong way?
It has to do with my throat.
Yeah, just the smell. But it's been heartening to see them, and Chris Pindu has been a real, you know, life force there.
Absolutely.
And so just where they're speaking up more and, you know, more engaged.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the issues I think is kind of come up around this issue of male-female.
Oh, yeah.
And, I know I've encouraged this usual, which I'm very happy to see it develop.
But, it's definitely developing.
but I think that's good, and I think the men are going to have to agree with that, but I think they're probably not completely with it. And,
I think they're a little puzzled because, like, even Nate, who's a sweetheart, you know, he kind of makes some of these cracks. Oh, what? You know, we're not invited?
Yeah, right. I know, it's been real funny.
He does that in fun, but I think that.
Oh, he's down. He's wondering. Absolutely.
There's a tremendous. It's a race gender. Friction kind of thing. And so I want to encourage all of you to be sensitive to that and not sort of, yeah, remember I have to bow down now.
Oh, I don't think it was, that was never even on the agenda. It was if the women were quiet. But also, it's not like we're having even meetings. We're having a brunch like a couple times a year, you know. And
we're not really organizing here.
What we did organize with the last one was to say, Maria Palmer was, she had not come to the first one, and she was just talking about, like, when she gets up feeling like she's not really being heard or getting very frustrated. And we were talking about, you know, if you go to a forum, a candidates forum, or some kind of council meeting, if there's other women there to say, you know, these are some of my sisters, and they stand up too. So they can say, and also when you speak, not just speak as a lone ranger, just say, I'm from the NAACP, or from WILF, or from both, so that they know that you're just not a lone ranger, that you're part of the group.
Behind you, right?
So just encouraging women who will not tend to get up in these councils or forums just to sit quietly, to get up and feel more empowered to get up. Not to say the guys can't get up, but to get the women's voices heard, that is where we're coming from. But I think any time that there's something a little different going on, I think people get
people
a little
getting worried.
Like, yeah, what is this about? Yeah.
And we
love guys. I love Nate. I love
you.
I love
people. They're absolutely
Fred. Yeah, I don't think there's anything to worry about. I think it's
something deeper than that.
Yeah, for men, I think for African males, it would be something very much deeper than that.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Because Catherine Cleaver coming here into the lecture.
Right.
The what?
If you have Kathleen Cleaver come in and do a lecture, and some of the women come who don't necessarily come out to events all the time. This is going to stir men up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I think we're getting off just a little bit here.
Let us know if we're you know, you're getting too tired.
What I'm trying to get to is that the way that we have decided to try to have our next discussion, our first discussion, is to read the digital files that we have recorded in the meetings that we've had that have tried to understand the approach. And so I've been just, you know, now kind of pull those things out and get them to Kevin. Oh, I got a nice big change of crap. And he is going to, it would be nice, although I think there's probably too much material for him to transcribe it.
Wow.
So he may have to transcribe notes. Mm-hmm. And here we have another issue, which is that, yeah, since he and Mary and I don't all see eye to eye on how this thing should develop. And so if he does the notes, that'll come through. But partly what will come through also is that he and I disagree. And we'll see more how I promote my position, how he asks his questions. Of course, the team that comes in on it, you know.
So what's the roughly like area of disagreement?
Mm-hmm. not easy to put names.
Okay.
It's like my basic organizing framework is I'm going back before and because the female is on campus, let's say. Starting in the 1990s, we had a movement that started to develop about history, commemoration, reparations, the class action lawsuit with the housekeepers. And that whole thing was a historical lawsuit in the sense that we used history. And we were going to expose the university's entire long history of treachery. And the university very much came to understand that our struggle was going beyond simply protests. And that everybody was finding out about the university's history. And that was going to become a statewide issue if they put Leonard Chapman up on the stand as the expert witness with housekeepers. And it didn't have to be me, it could have been workers. And most of the time it is the workers. A lot of them got where they were pretty well versed in the history, and they would do teaching or they would do this and do that. And so it was clear that this was happening. And the university headed that off and caved in and gave certain concessions. And the ones that had to do with preserving and honoring Black history were minimal. Weren't, in my opinion, followed through on very much. Which is how they deal with all of these things. But it came to be my understanding that during that period of time, pretty much I worked this out with Al, is that this approach to struggle for the larger issues, all of the institutional issues of housekeeping, could be grounded in a lawsuit in the sense that it could be grounded in a struggle over the history of the university and the culture that can be used as a leverage. So that became sort of my fundamental outlook for what I was going to focus on. And that's when we formed the history committee of the NAACP. Took it as far as we could. And then, I was going to graduate school and I was starting to understand these various historical issues for the housekeepers and for my own work. And so this whole issue of Cornelius Spencer.
And that's where Wolf was with you.
Yeah, right, that's true.
And I did this whole big research paper, which was like the fundamental difference between the kind of organizing I did in the 1980s and in the 1990s. When I was in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, both myself and I think other radicals, mostly developed a sort of a general understanding of things like labor history, community history, this, that, and the other, but it wasn't really something that we really focused on. That was an academic thing. It was more like getting the union signed up. But during that period of time, I think myself and a lot of people transitioned some to see that this history aspect of things could be very effective, connected with organizing. And so when Cornelia came up I sort of jumped on that. That's how I do my organizing. You know, I see a possibility, and depending on what the situation is and my resources, who else might be interested, then I try to jump on that. And the point is, and I understand this from the beginning, although most people didn't, was that Cornelia turned out to be a very sensitive issue for the university and the state. And so, by jumping on that issue, it meant that all of a sudden, you were opening up this whole can of worms. So I always called Cornelia, the can of worms issue. Take the lid off of this can of worms, and it's going to open up interest.
And what helped push the university was all that information that you were getting out, but also then, as a keynote, the women who were going to be awarded
the awards.
You know, said, whoa, is this what it means? It was.
And the people that they picked.
The people that they picked. As you got out the information and people got to understand it, because I hadn't like these newspaper articles, all these women who rang the bell, and I thought the university was closed during the war, and she's ringing the bell at the end of the war, not afterwards for reconstruction. All this misinformation, and as you got it out into the light of day. And the woman who was going to be picked to take the award.
My feeling was always that we could build upon this, that it was not a single issue.
Yeah.
And that, so we did that, and then we moved on to chat. Wilk was definitely motivating. Sort of supporting and motivating organization with the endorsement of the NAACP and other people. So then we had this chat thing, and so that started to take on the aspect of dealing with issues a little bit more broadly. And we started developing work on silent sound, train of thought, that kind of stuff. And a lot of people at the university, like a lot of time, they started taking this stuff up. We did all this work about behind the lines. Cafeteria workers. That just took off like wildfire. But by then I was getting more. So, this became a little bit of a trend on campus, and now you can look at things like hidden voices.
Which is wonderful, yeah. Yeah, they certainly are carrying on.
And then all the stuff that the library's done.
Yeah.
I think that Tim West and the library's done, which I didn't anticipate.
Tim who?
West.
I don't know about that. The UNC library, Tim West? No, that I didn't know about.
Well,
Because Joyce has been at the library, right?
Yeah.
His daughter.
Yeah. Right. The library had to deal with this stuff because...
Oh, right. Coming back. Yes, they had that... exhibit upstairs there.
The chancellor put all this big chunk of money into this conference.
The university's history with racism. What a brain.
So the library got involved, and then unlike most other university institutions, the library took the ball and ran with it, and they did their research and their work around the university's connection to slavery.
Had a big huge
display and a big huge thing to discuss. And so it created a university, and it created a new dynamic at the university where it was now okay to talk about this stuff, even if they weren't doing it exactly the way we would like.
And then they had that big thing about Reconstruction.
Yeah, remembering Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And all of that. And, you know, like everything else that happens at the university, since that didn't get really endorsed and used and everything by the university itself that much, well, they did, and they did it with this digital library, which we haven't had the energy to really follow up on the way that should be modified. And same thing with the Unsung Heroes. That grew out of all this too, I there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, what a body of accomplishment here in terms of teaching all of us, the community, even activists.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
It's amazing.
I mean, when you think about, just even like take the Bell Award, you know.
Yeah, where, I was blown away about that.
Yeah, I just thought that he was this wonderful woman, and you started, and I thought, oh my goodness.
Everybody carried on about him, and suddenly you get behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so,
like pulling the curtain aside, you know.
And this is all what we're doing there is challenging institutional racism. Institutional racism is something that is like the air you breathe. You know, you don't notice it.
Exactly.
That's right. You really don't realize it.
Exactly. Yeah, you're black,
but yeah, that's right.
And I think that gays do. You know, I think anybody who's sort of outside.
Anybody who's outside, you know, on the fringes, picks up on that. Really good times, just keep the majority that they don't realize what's going on.
Right, and so that's how institutional, generally speaking, you have to tap it because it's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Colorblind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is the way things are, you know. And you don't even think about it.
So then I thought, well, you know, it wasn't exactly a plan, but, you know, Al noticed an article in the New York Times about the anniversary of the Freedom Ride. And we studied up, he sent the article to me, and I studied up on it a little bit and called George Hauser. Decided that this roadside marker could be another similar issue. And that there were people on the council and stuff who would support it. And so then we took it more, I mean, I was moving off campus because I got my degree.
Yeah.
And we moved, you know, more NAACP into the community arena. And so now we're doing it in both the community and campus.
And Rogers Road is another
issue, too.
Thing.
Rogers Road. Right.
You know, talk about institutional racism. You know, that's been continuing community education about, you know, responsibility for one's trash and 30-some-odd years in that neighborhood. And Kevin Foy was still trying to screw them. It's his parting gift leaving office.
And if he thinks
he's going to become our senator, you know, oh.
So then my health came up as an issue for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, well, what's my part of gift going to be? And it's to make sure that this kind of work and that all the resources that we've developed and so on and so forth somehow becomes more institutionalized. And I thought this needs to be done best under the NAACP. I wasn't sure about that. I thought maybe a separate thing would be needed when I saw what Jane was doing to the NAACP. But, you know, we got through that little period and now we're doing our thing. And, so what the study group is all about is building on that and building a movement in Chapel Hill, in North Carolina, in the South, that has an important component of this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, Reverend Barber is very much on board with that.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
And the difference between myself and Kevin Hicks on this is that I don't think that he necessarily sees why it should be the NAACP who sort of does all this,
or why the auspices,
or why this approach should work. So, you know, when they came and they saw these problems in school, they basically did it from their own experience.
Yeah.
This stuff's horrible, let's get the parents together. Which is great, and you can't move forward without that kind of organizing. But it's a different way of thinking strategically than what I'm talking about, because that's sort of like needs to be done but doesn't may appear to be an issue that can be dealt with that way very strategically.
Well, yeah, because that's like temporary. Their kids are going to get bigger. There's going to be other things.
Right.
You know, there's no institution that will have that kind of memory to keep it going. You know, so Penn Dan Keith can do wonderful stuff. Because, you know, and that can be great and it can be very effective, but at some point, they're going to, you know, their energy's going to maybe go elsewhere, or maybe not, but it's still going to be depending on just a few individuals keeping it going, where if you have some kind of institutional umbrella over that kind of history, there's always that hope that, of course, it's going to have a much better chance of keeping going. Am I articulating that?
The
part of it, and what's the part I'm not articulating?
I'm not sure. Well, the other part that you're not articulating is that Kevin has been, since they came here, skeptical of the end of life.
Yeah.
With
just
good reason,
as you all have.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even say skeptical. It's just that that sometimes you just, when things come up, wonder why they're not out there more.
Out there more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, not doing that much. And you know, from my point of view, this raises the whole issue of how do you build a movement in an organization that's not just a bunch of little superstars.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And especially Fred Battle is getting on.
Yeah.
Al is getting on. You know, and then how is this work going to, you know, that commitment going to continue, where Kevin could be, and you know, Greg is quite a bit, he's a hard worker, he's
very earnest.
I mean, but you want to get be teaching and mentoring these younger people with health and energy to you know, carry on some of this, and the women. You know, Michelle is there, Miriam is there.
Teresa.
Teresa's getting more involved.
More involved.
Colleen, right. like Colleen said, she's not a spring chicken either. She's
no, that's up. Right.
Once so, again, yeah.
The younger ones are coming.
Yeah.
So, I used to refer to this that Miriam really endorsed in life was we have to build our committees as real sort of collective groups of people who have accountability to each other and work together. And it can't be just one or two experts who tell people what to do or make things happen. You know, there are people who've got lots of experience in one area or the other who can tell people what to do and make a lot of stuff happen. And to a large extent, I did that with February 28th. But, and I could only do that, though, because people had a certain relationship with me.
Relationship is key. I heard everything.
Yeah.
And that's what's really important, keep that in place.
Right. So, when you don't have that, then you just have...
That's right.
People who are standing out there together.
Well, and that's part of, you know, why I got the idea early on, which it took a year till we finally did it, about the women of wealth, because so many of us go to the NAACP, you know, and getting together with some of the women there from the NAACP so that we develop those relationships, so we'll think about calling each other and working together more.
Especially the divide, quite an issue of social business, you know. There's always that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's coming up. You know, I can see it developing, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting really to know each other.
Yeah, you are.
And
feel right. More comfortable with each other.
We've had a civil rights movement going now for 50, 60 years. And it's this kind of organizing and getting together has not developed in many situations.
Yeah.
And so this is all happening. And some black people see this as a threat. And also, I think it's pretty normal. I mean, it is a threat in a certain way because here you got all these white people coming in with time and resources and, you know, blah, 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 and a paternalistic attitude. And, you know, for years we've had problems with that happen, particularly in Chapel Hill. And, you know, this needs to be dealt with. We deal with it and end up ACP pretty well. I think that Kevin in particular has said to me a few times, why should we put all of this trust into building NAACP, all of our energy into that? Because if you've been doing something for a certain way for a long time and it hasn't worked, maybe you need to try new approaches, which I agree with. But to me, new approaches are the approaches I've been trying to hammer out in these little campaigns and history committees, and those have worked, I think. So, and the approach of Roger Rose, but I think those things are working. And I think they decided that they would be on board at the end of the CP. Maybe Sukenda agreed with that before he did. And I think it's still been a lingering issue for him. And he's now a history committee chair. And, you know, unless he unless he's on board with that, and unless those of us who've been working with him, the NAACP, for a long time, are also in sync with what their parent group is doing, and then, you know, it's shaky ground, and so that is one of the things that needs to get ironed out.
Also, if you think about it, and same thing with Wilk, you know, these organizations can get new ideas and have a campaign that may bring in new people, but if you try to get a campaign as a Lone Ranger, NAACP has a name, recognition, yeah, and its history. It's having its 100th anniversary. Sure. It is around the whole nation. It may have its flaws. God knows it does, just like Wolf has its flaws. Sure. But, you know, you're starting out with a history there and a name and, you know, a grounding.
I think it's important not to have just this be a separate group.
Yeah.
You know, we've got so many of those.
Yeah. Ad hoc groups.
And you've got all these acronyms and you just go bananas, you know? And to me, it means grounded in this group here, you know, like you say, that has national recognition and they have history there. They have something to build on there. This to me would be a natural offshoot.
So to start a history thing that you've been working on and for Kevin maybe to pick up and make the commitments and bring in other people under the umbrella of the NAACP still gives them that, you know, that recognition and contacts with Reverend Barber within the state, you know, other states, rather than trying to build the whole thing from the ground up by yourself.
Yeah.
And like with Wolf, you know, we may be small, but we're at anything that's going on, there's Wolf members there. You know, it's a small, committed group. And we're having our 75th birthday next year.
But see, that's important for us to have that history behind us, too.
Yeah.
That feeling that comes up from that is very powerful.
And it's very powerful to me. I mean, why is they in Wolf and the NAACP, you know, and I consider them my two main organizations, where with the church, I'm a little iffier. I think I understand what you're saying, and I'm glad Kevin is open-minded enough, it sounds like, to be listening and being willing to work under that umbrella, you know, and it gives you then, and that's like a revitalizing thing for the NAACP. Every organization needs some new ideas and campaigns and revitalization.
So
with Miriam, though, you would...
Well, with Miriam, Miriam's approach to organizing is, I couldn't characterize it, but she wants everything to be done now.
Yeah. I know that. Like yesterday. She wants to be done yesterday. Right.
And it's exhausting. She's like Peggy. You know, it's like you back off, at least I do, because it's just so, like, you know, it just wears you out. You have to sort of protect your inner soul there for a little bit. But they both are so committed.
They
are such good
people.
And
they have good ideas. Absolutely. It's just that you just feel. Well, the intensity is one thing, of course, but the other, you're right. You just feel like you have to just back off. You just can't.
It's set a boundary.
Because there's just so much coming out, you know, that you do. Oh,
here's 20 million things we got to do yesterday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so what was happening with Miriam was she was trying to move the discussion from organizing the study group to intervening with the schools to develop the curriculum. So these things obviously need to be done. But from my point of view, we don't have any kind of a strategic understanding of the issues themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we do in some ways, but not in a lot of ways.
And not in specific concrete ways.
And to just jump in, you know,
right.
Here, everybody, you should do blah, 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 and then, you know, it fizzles.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, you have there is the need to do that.
Oh God, yes.
It's a tension. I think these are the. This is one of the fundamental contradictions that all organizing groups face. Is how to integrate strategy with immediate tactical issues. And you know, we had all this discussion, remember, earlier on in the NAACP around the time of Martin King Boulevard about this really needs to be done, but we need to do everything that we do in a way that connects strategically. And often we don't know how to do that.
And I think I want to go back to what Liza was saying too, though, about relationships. You know, that when you're trying to make changes like that, you know, if it's within the school or whatever, you've got to sort of really work with some of the people who are there and maybe not agree with them, but see where they're coming from, so you can work for change, not just making a big fight
and bludgeon them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then they're just going to get their hands up right away. Mm-hmm. That's such a wrong way to go at it.
So we covered all these topics in the discussion, and I think that for a fairly narrow core of people who's committed and not a bunch of blabbermouths and stuff, this would give us some common basis to understand where we are and where we're trying to get to, what some of the different feelings and considerations are that people have. And hopefully that would all come together and different than it's not least figure out how to deal with that. So and then I don't know, maybe we can move on to that to just who should be on it. We talked about that a little bit, but just because I don't think you guys are totally in the loop on that. And you know,
the loop isn't tied, but we're sort of at the loose end here.
Yeah, loose end. Hanging off.
You know, the contradiction for me here is that I have sort of taken on this role within the NAACP, which is not exactly what I intended to take on, but it's basically to be one of the critical people trying to reorganize things in such a way that we can have a really healthy institution. Mm-hmm. And you know, how are we going to work with you? It wasn't really happening. And so this February 26th and 28th thing is, you know, one of the first ways that we've really made it happen. And you know, working with Rena Sear and my relationships with people out there and with the kids is sort of helping you move that along. Now you got some Pinda and Kevin with 8 kids.
Yeah. Well, we get all their kids involved, we'll just not have to worry about the
right.
I was going to have some Pinda on the radio show. I said, "What?" And she forgot with the first one. And I said, "Well, you know, I was very forgiving." I said, "Well, I know you've got what?"
8 children.
No, I didn't know that. I said, "I know you've got a lot." "What about 4 children?" She said, "Don't worry,
8. I said, oh my God.
Yeah, right.
And then she explained to me about, you know, this blended marriage that she had 5 and he had 3.
He had 3, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she says, we're like the Brady Bunch, got right. together. Oh my gosh. Anyhow, I need to digress here.
Well, yeah.
But you were talking about who's on. You know, my feelings will not be hurt if it's a real small group, since I'm not on email to not be on it, though I'm very interested and would like to take part in whatever campaigns,
my point of view is, who is it?
Who is a
doer? Who's an activist? Who's really interested in history? And who will carry this work on primarily in our community. And I think both of you fit the bill in terms of that.
Right.
Well, you know, well, I've always loved history. I mean, that is true. You know?
Yeah.
But I also feel like I'm sort of, don't pull my weight with being on email and stuff, you know, that... But I certainly bring enthusiasm, and I bring my body.
Yeah. And you bring years and years of connection.
Well,
that's true. You sure do.
Hi, Jean Chapman.
Hello.
Hi,
Jean.
Oh,
are you done?
Yeah,
I just stuck my finger in.
No, I'm done. Absolutely.
You're not. It's
thank
too
you
late.
So much. Yeah.
I was just going to bring my cup over so she can.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I do.
You do what?
Right back there.
Oh, to the left.
Yeah.
Always to the left.
To the left.
Always
left.
Absolutely.
Oh,
just
dear.
Turn the light on right inside the
I'll
door.
I'll go after you, Laurie. Florida swamp girl who likes for it to be hot, and so I kind of get the tailspin when the fall comes.
See, a week or a week and a half ago, I wouldn't have been able to have this conversation.
Right, that's so encouraging to see you being able to have this wonderful conversation.
It's just amazing.
To be a part of this special gift, and I really thank you for that. It's just wonderful.
Well, I'm thankful that I had the opportunity.
Right, right. Okay. Carry on. It's that you've been for such a long time. That's right. It's really great. Follow you.
To the left.
To the left. It's a beautiful day today, and we better enjoy it because you know what it's supposed to be tomorrow? We're down to the 40s and rain all day.
Wow, down to the 40s.
Yeah, because it was a huge change. And, when I go home, I'm making this vegan chili for Ashley. I had not brought anything before this, but somebody at church is sort of organizing, and she said you can just go in any time and put the food in the refrigerator. So, Lucy, just because it's hard to cook vegan, you know, no dairy. And Lucy had just been telling me on the way to church about this chili without carne. From Jane Brody's cookbook, and it sounded so good, you know. And so then at church, a woman got up, was friends with Ashley and Alan, said she's organizing about meals. And I said, well, I can do that. And I thought, yes, I know a recipe right away that's vegan.
Yeah, she's a vegan.
It's tomato and beans, and then if you cook rice to have it up with the rice, that's a complete amino
acid.
Right.
Okay.
So, anyhow,
my favorite topic.
And why shouldn't you?
So is it stuff that you enjoy eating now that you're getting a little appetite back?
Yeah, actually.
Chili might be a little much, huh?
No, it's hard to say. I haven't been able to take on... I wasn't able to take on anything with any kind of acidic content or anything like that, or anything that had a roughness to it, like bread.
Yeah, right.
The soft stuff.
Fiber. Yeah.
Like
the
grits.
Might be too much fiber.
Grits probably are good. Your scrambled eggs.
Grits.
I've been able to... Scrambled eggs is about the first thing that I...
That's
always good.
Able and Dan cooked the main scrambled eggs with cheese.
Yeah,
Munster cheese and
good
scrambled eggs.
Yeah, right.
We have to leave shortly, but this won't be the last conversation. So you have our name. She's on email.
Yeah, you've got my email.
It's a Wolf female. She's the Wolf female person.
Let me just run through the list so you know.
Okay. That'd be good.
Sukhinder Keith.
Okay.
Kevin Hicks.
Okay.
Nancy McDermott.
Okay.
Barbara Hopkins. I want to make sure she's involved.
Barbara Hopkins, right.
Oh, I love Barbara.
Me too.
Yeah.
Haley Koch.
Okay.
Marv Haley.
Tim Tyson is going to be involved, but he may not come up.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be sort of
a good resource, right?
Absolutely. Oh.
And same with Al.
And who?
Al McShure.
Al.
Dawn McClendon.
Dawn, I
may not know.
No, I don't know.
She is a friend of
Okay.
Is she related to Mae McClendon?
She's not old.
Oh, she's not.
She's that friend that's come from California. To be here for, that wasn't clear, when we were in her house.
Yeah.
I remember her. Right.
Me too.
Yeah,
we met her.
Very articulate woman.
Yes.
Right.
We met her.
Yeah.
Liza.
Laura. Yeah.
And I'll be the email contact person.
She'll be my email.
Yeah, let me see what comes up.
There could be others.
And Carrie, is Carrie on? And Carrie's a historian, and he's a lefty historian.
Yeah,
okay. He's at the Citadel trying to
he's got his work
be subversive there.
Absolutely.
They're trying to do the same kind of stuff we are.
And the boy, he's got his work cut out.
He and I were the team.
You were a team,
Cheryl Kleinman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of connections and resources.
I'll have to get his number from you and try to see if my grandson will go and talk to him, because I think he should talk to him before. But the public policy probably would be a good thing to be involved with too, where he can get a job. He's taking a course in it now, and he said some of it was really
turned up,
but some of it was good.
Okay, he had mixed feelings about it.
Yeah. So, Yanni, we have to go.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad to see you and see you so strong.
Right.
Looking so good.
Yeah.
Looking good.
That's right.
And see you out of a hospital and in this, your home is.
He said while you were in the restroom just a week ago, he wouldn't have been able to have this conversation.
Yeah. Right. We've been 2 weeks. Yeah. Well, that's why I haven't been for so long, because it was said, just to back off and then it was like by email, so it took a while to she could hear from Sandy from email, and then she lost Sandy's email.
I lost Sandy's email, but
I ended up calling Jean anyhow, because we're trying not to, where the phone's ringing all the time.
Right time.
So we'll be back, and
I'll send you some reading materials.
Great.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
I love reading. That's really good. I've just been reading David, whatever his name is, the biography of John Adams, which, you know, big fat book.
Well, that's a big fat book.
It is a big fat, but it's well written, and it's just really interesting because I've forgotten that the Revolutionary War went from 76 to 81. I was thinking it was a couple, you know, it's a long time since I was in school, so it's kind of sharpening the old slack brain here.
Yeah.
Well, this has been wonderful.
It's been great. I've been so happy to see you.
It's so shocking to me that I can carry on.
Well, it's been. Well, it's making me feel so happy that we came at the right time then. Yeah. This was the time we were meant to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you soon, okay? And you send material, and I'll see Dolly gets it, okay, too.
Love you. That would be good. I know she's so busy, but she sure would be an asset to any group. Yeah. I just rely on Lucy.
What
are
you saying?
James, I want to get a hug goodbye from you, dear.
Where's your button?
Pardon? My pen says 10% is enough. We went up to Charlotte with the IFC and I get my acronyms mixed up. the thing to do with OCOC, you know, the new juice organization of people that we went up on a demonstration to the Bank of America and wanted to see the CEOs and the whole bit, and we were able to do that, and we went to Brockovia. It was really funny. They panicked. They totally panicked when we walked in. We had our red T-shirts and our blue T-shirts and our white T-shirts, and they just backed off, and they shut the door of the bank, and they had people outside that were saying, beating on the door saying, I need to get in here. I need my money. They said, okay, we could come in if we would take off our T-shirts. And we were wearing these big T-shirts over our clothes. And so then somebody began to chant, isn't that just like you to take the shirt right off our back? You know, so they gave us all kinds of ammunition, which was really fun.
Do you have a brother?
No.
No, okay, never mind. I have cards. I'm just personally.
I don't have a brother. I wish I did.
Requires having a brother and sister-in-law, which I will never have. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Brothers.
Jane, enjoy this day. I was just telling Yanni, I listened to a weather report because today is supposed to be sun and up in 70. Tomorrow is supposed to be in the 40s and rain all day.
Are you kidding?
No.
It's
supposed to have a terrible day tomorrow.
Wow. Right. And I'm just looking at all the sun. This is a wonderful room.
Isn't that a great room?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Lovely. Light and everything.
It really is.
Which is very restorative.
Well, Yanni, we'll be in touch.
Yeah.
And this has been so much fun.
Hi, Princess.
It has been.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much.
Frisia. Lucy got them from the Farleys. I'll leave them until everything falls off.
Oh, yes. All right.
They're called for Frisia.
Should we get his stool right here?
Yeah.